Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, everybody. It is November 23rd. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. I actually just prefer to sprinkle a little on top there. And
happy birthday.
Oh yeah, happy birthday to you. It's a good one.
Good time.
Oh, good time. And yes, thank you everybody. I want to say a shout out to all my friends and family that shouted out to me on my birthday. That was exciting. I've been avoiding Facebook a little bit after the elections, and I just happened to open it up on my birthday. You know, early mid-morning, and there they all were. Everyone was out there wishing me love and hugs and throwing out old-school pictures with long hair. Woo-hoo! So it was a flashback of besties, and thank you guys. I love you all, and thanks to the Tombstone Gunslingers for just being you. This weekend is the last Tombstone at Twilight, so come down to Tombstone and be there around 5 o'clock if you want to see some shooting in the streets. Belle Starr herself. We'll probably get shot, but we'll probably be shooting and having some good times down there. So come down to Tombstone, folks. An awesome place to learn some stellar history about this great state. Cochise County, man, Geronimo. Let's do this. Let's do this. So last week we had Arizona Analytical on, and that was awesome. We're really, really excited for our tour. Send us a date and we'll be there. Mm-hmm. It's right here. It's right in our neck of the woods. I love it. We have a nice...
The things that they're doing with cannabis and the way that they're testing is incredible. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg.
It's in the
basement level of where we're actually going to start seeing some testing going.
Yeah.
You know,
the
eating part of it.
Edible.
Where it's getting more tested are, you know, the nutrients that are going to be in this, the different vitamins.
Montel Williams, his lab in California is amazing. They are doing some serious work about extracting, you know, really getting information out of that plant so that
we're talking about eating it raw, you know, and where leaf goes. And Dr. Courtney, the work he's doing, is I'd like to see some of those things, like what's the nutrient value, you know, what, because we do see hemp and how great it is for you, the hemp seeds, and more of the research finding out, because this is where we're looking at, you know, healing ourselves after being subjected to quite a few years
of a lack of
and chemicals throughout the years, you know, generations.
To replace the endocannabinoid system we already do have.
Right.
So what we're doing now, which is, it's funny because, telling my friend the other day, we laugh because older people come into our center and they say, can you believe I'm here? Like we've known them their whole lives. And they're flabbergasted, and we're flabbergasted with them that they're here. And we go, well, actually, no, we do believe you're here because, you know, you do have an endocannabinoid system already, which is why you feel good naturally when you partake in cannabis in any way, because your body goes, it recognizes it and says, oh, wow, oh, yeah, I need that. I feel good.
I forgot about this,
this beautiful non-toxic plant that regulates my entire system.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, more talk, Bell talks about the endocannabinoid system, and what it does is there's different ways to wake it up, or, you know, it's just like any other system that's kind of been put aside. People's immune systems gets, you know, suppressed.
Yes.
Your endocannabinoid system can be, you know, suppressed. So,
and it has been. Well, for a lot of the people, but there are still people that have been using it a lot.
You know, if your parents ever used it, yes, there could be a little chance that you have an awoken endocannabinoid system.
Well,
when you're
someone
born.
Said the other day, even if you're using it recreationally, it's medically being used for you as well, because it's helping to regulate all your
prevention
systems.
Is what we call it.
It's vitamin C. Where's that lab check when you need it? Come on.
There it is.
Check out. All right. Let's see here. Wow, that's a pretty picture. Did you know at Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard? Come on down. There's no suite. We're just suite. come down. Check it out. We're going to have a heck of a holiday Black Friday for you guys, what we call a Green Friday. So come down. We'll have some major sales. And
what are some of the sales?
Well, you know, we've got some killer new bongs that glow in the dark. And what are they made of? Silicone. So they don't break, peeps. If your dog knocks your bong over, if you knock your bong, everyone, how many bongs? Raise your hand in this room if you've all broken a bong. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, raise both hands if you've broken multiple bongs. Look, we're doing the wave.
This
is fantastic. And it's a nice size bong. It's tall. I think I want one. I think this is coming to my living room next.
Better to call Santa.
Oh, dear Santa. Dear Santa Claus. Dear Cannabis Claus.
Canna Claus.
This is what I want for Christmas. What strain would we put in it? You know what I miss is Grape Ape.
I'm sure they have a cranberry kush or something like that.
Oh,
I bet they
lovely.
Do. I mean, I know
lovely.
It. I say it. I'm sure it's out there.
Green bean casserole cannabis.
Should we look that up?
Yeah, cranberry kush. The accoutrement to go with your Thanksgiving meal. Where's Watermelon Girl when you need her? Wonder what she's cooking up for Thanksgiving. We're going to read some things, but we're giving a shout out to Tumbleweeds Health Center that just turned 5 years old. That's spectacular and miraculous and blessed. We are blessed and grateful. And it is Cranberry Kush at a dispensary near you. If you have any challenges in your life, in your being, your physical being, we all do. We have aches and pains, but there are a lot of people in the world that have PTSD that didn't go to war. They may have personal wars that they deal with. So if you suffer from PTSD, cancer, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, ALS, Crohn's disease, agitation of Alzheimer's disease, a chronic or debilitating disease or a medical condition, or the treatment for a chronic or debilitating disease or a medical condition that causes wasting syndrome, severe and chronic pain, severe nausea, seizures, including those characteristic of epilepsy, severe and persistent muscle spasms, including those characteristics of multiple sclerosis. People come in with migraines, with fibromyalgia, DDD. What else they come in with? All sorts of issues that cause things that might fall under one of the chronic or debilitating or medical conditions that cause any of this stuff. Parkinson's disease, we're seeing a lot of Alzheimer's patients come in now. That's a big one. We're seeing a lot of that. This is a great, great thing. So check out.
If you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
There you have it. So contact us, 520-838-4430. You can also email us, because most of you are out there on your smart things these days, thctucson@gmail.com. Send us a fax, 520-306-5147. Draw us a pretty picture and fax it in. We'll put it on the wall. That would be fun. 520-306-5147, and the prettiest picture wins a prize. That's a good one. All right. So we got High Times down at Tumbleweeds Health Center, 4826 East Broadway Boulevard, in our big, new, beautiful building. Come check it out. You can buy, we have a beautiful new rack with all our past issues of, yeah, you have to come see it, with all our past issues of High Times magazines. And since that rack's been up, we've sold quite a few. These are great. We're even selling past issues at a cheaper price. So come down and check it out and see, especially for Black Friday deals. So in this issue, they talk about some of the negatives of the props that came out, I believe. Oh, it says, we're in High Times if y'all want to follow along. We're on page 24. It says, High Witness News. Truth be damned, big cannabis lies and the liars who spread them, by Mark Miller. All right, Mark, let's see what you have to say. All right, the DEA and the Denver Division. In order to justify its recent gutless refusal to reschedule cannabis, the DEA described legal large-scale commercial pot gardens in residential neighborhoods as the new meth houses. Seriously? That's the best you've got? The problem with this analogy is that meth houses are illegal and commercial pot gardens are sanctioned by the state. The worst threats from weed warehouses are strong odors and blown transformers, none of which are half as scary as current U.S. pot policy, and I, Bell Star, will add, not as scary as seeing your neighbor's house blow up because of your chemical meth lab gone wrong. Oh, oh my Lord. Can you believe they said that? Seriously? That's cray-cray. All right. Carol Jenkins Barnett, the billionaire ex-president of the supermarket chain Publix, personally donated $800,000 to fight the medical pot measure in Florida this November with the following statement. Amendment 2 would usher in an unprecedented era of legalized marijuana in Florida. While it's not clear why this would be a bad thing, we feel the need to point out that, although literally half of the United States has approved medical pot in some form, only 4 states have legalized recreational weed, with 0 being in the South. All right, what about the No on 64 campaign? That's California. Yay.
It says last August, supporters of Proposition 64, California's upcoming legislation initiative, filed a lawsuit in Superior Court to remove the opposition grossly false and misleading statements from the informational guided from the November ballot. Among those named in the suit is U.S. No on 64 scare tactic included the claim that it would allow cannabis commercials on television. Sorry, haters, but that's not possible. Federal law bans TV ads for any smoking products. So what they're saying is,
This is why this is a bad thing. Right. Commercials are coming.
Right.
Okay. Does she not watch the commercials that say you should take this pill that may cause internal bleeding and headaches and death and stroke and delusions and paranoia and suicide and murder and, but don't use cannabis.
Exactly.
It might calm you down. All right, no 164. Well, you know, the thing is, here's the thing.
Talking about this.
Here's the thing. Money is the thing. We all saw what money bought this year. People with big money use it in a negative way. So, Susan Sarandon, I need you to call in. 646-915-8421. You can call now. We'll take you on there. Or you can call us later. But we need you to call in and talk to us and tell us why you voted, or you voted, you couldn't vote in all the states, that you were supporting all the cannabis bills, because they pay these big movie stars, and I don't know if these big movie stars are sitting down with their cups of teas or lattes or whatever, scotch,
mm-hmm.
or bongs, Jennifer Aniston, and are they, she didn't do it though, but are they reading the props? Did Susan read Prop 205 fully? Did she take time to read 20 pages before she started calling my neighbors and saying, hi, it's Susan Sarandon, you should vote for Prop 205? I can't tell you how many neighbors got that left on their answering machine. Susan flipping Sarandon? So you got, you know, just because you have money, it doesn't mean you can, and it failed. It didn't even work. I mean, the money tactic didn't work here. Our bill failed, and for very good reason. We're going to read in just a little bit about a new Arizona initiative coming up, already being written for 2018. So shame on big money for trying to bully everybody with it, but even shamer on big names. Just, I wonder how much they hurt for.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. It
really
yeah.
is. That's, and it's sad to think that someone that you, you know, watch in the movies and look up to and respect and think is great and environmental and pro this and pro that, and then they do something like that, and you wonder, why? Why? Why don't you just work on your own state, and we'll work on ours, and why, you know, like, if you want to hoot and holler for Prop 64, if that's where you're living these days, Ms. Sarandon, you know, mm-hmm. go for it. But I think people should stick to their own props and stick to what they're doing in their state.
And what they know.
And what they know and what they're educating themselves about. And that's what I wonder.
If you're interested in that, take full initiative.
And read it.
Take the full initiative.
Because we have had so many people come into our health center now and say, man, we didn't know. We started reading, you know, and we started listening to your show. We started reading what you had. And we didn't know 205 was that way. We would have voted no. So many people have come and said, we would have voted no had we known. Mm-hmm. That all these things were going to happen. So, yeah. Education. All right. Be smart, be safe, and educate.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Randy Philbrick and Sam Organ. The anti-cannabis group Smart Approaches to Marijuana has always attempted to link pot with violence, but Sam, S-A-M, reached a new low in June when State Chief Philbrick compared the horrific Pulse nightclub massacre in Orlando, Florida, to Oregon Senator Earl Blumenauer's steadfast support for legal weed. Philbrick tweeted, quote, you can't support one threat to public health, public safety, and then condone another. Not surprisingly, Philbrick resigned within a week of the supremely tacky tweet. Wow, that's interesting. Resigned?
Or
forced to quit. Okay. Patrick Kennedy, founder of SAM, SAM, Smart Approaches to Marijuana, the nephew of JFK, has been heavily engaged in anti-cannabis activities this past summer, donating $2 million to defeat pro-pop measures and claiming the legalization movement has, quote, exposed children from communities of color to more racial discrimination, quote. How's that again, Pat? Legal weed would mean the end of disappropriated pot arrests for young blacks and Latinos, thereby keeping their records and their future employment opportunities untarnished. All right, there you have it by Mark Miller. So, see, you got to read, folks. You got to get yourselves educated. You have to understand what's going on. And mind your own business, people. Come on, seriously. What you find there in the Tucson Weekly, we decided that we're going to start doing some Tucson Weekly readings. It got medical marijuana articles each week, so we thought we'd find out what's going on in our own local town. We used to do that, we stopped doing that. I don't know why. We just did. But we'll pick that back up again, and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do we got? The battle at home, it says.
Yeah, where did we want to start on this?
Oh, I think at the beginning would be a good... that's a letter from the editor.
Sorry.
Start at the beginning. No.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, no. But look. Wait. Charlotte Green faces prison. Remember?
Oh, I do remember.
Television reporter turned cannabis advocate Charlotte Green has been charged with multiple felonies and faces decades behind bars for, quote, misconduct involving a controlled substance, quote. The charges stem from her membership-based Alaska Cannabis Club. Green was the subject of international attention when she signed off from her final newscast in 2014 with the quip, fuck it, I quit, quote. The video...
I remember that.
Yeah. And she's in the picture here. We're on page 26, if y'all want to check this photo out. She's got two of the biggest hand-rolled joints I've ever seen. So I guess with those joints, you might could say, fuck it, I quit. She got a lot of smoking to do there. Seriously, they're like probably two feet long. All right. The video clip immediately went viral, and Charlo left TV News to devote her time to her cannabis club and the legalization effort. While Alaska legalized recreational cannabis in 2014, go Alaska, lawmakers have largely failed to implement a retail program, making it difficult for Alaskans to acquire cannabis despite its legal status, hence her cannabis club memberships. Although unlicensed, Green's club allowed Alaskans to obtain marijuana for membership fees. However, authorities caught wind of the activities and set up undercover operations that led to raids of the club. Sorry. Go read a meth lab. Despite operating in a legal cannabis state, Green, who has pleaded not guilty, faces up to 54 years in prison. What the hell is wrong with this world? Oh, man.
It is sad to hear about all these things that are happening. You know how long it's been going through, but, you know, it's just like any other fight in this country. It's something that we have to keep on going through until...
Just like the Brady and pretty much keep on.
Is that it? You need to have
that.
Yeah, we need that. Right,
you know what, folks? This new year coming up, we are going to have a big new soundtrack. And you'll have visualizations and sounds you will not get out of your head for at least a week until the next one's coming.
We might even have smell-o-vision. I don't know yet.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Smell-o-thon 2017. 2017?
Yeah.
Oh, seven. We like it. All right. Spit on this THC detector. Ooh, ooh. A new contraption for the fuzz. Check it out. Researchers at Stanford University have created a new marijuana detector dubbed the Potalyzer. It looks like a breathalyzer. The device is intended for use by law enforcement during roadside screenings. However, instead of measuring blood alcohol levels, the Potalyzer measures how much THC is in the driver's system by testing their saliva. Creating such a detection device has proved difficult because THC can remain in the system for weeks with no deleterious impact on the driver. The Stanford Potalyzer utilizes magnetic biosensors to detect tiny concentrations of THC molecules in a person's saliva, which might be more indicative of current pot intoxication. So, yeah, if you're cruising down the road and you're smoking a doobie, which you shouldn't be, and you get pulled over, whoo, all that resin in your mouth going in that little Potalyzer and you're in trouble. However, even if the device can accurately detect current intoxication, there's no consensus on the level of THC concentration that actually results in impairment. Colorado, where authorities use devices similar to the Potalyzer, set the legal limit for drivers at under 5 nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood. Okay, I'm safe. Other states have yet to legislate a stoned driving limit. Wow. 5 nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood? A lot, right? I mean, how many milliliters of blood do you have in your system? I'm so safe. Okay, thank you, Colorado, for your Potalyzer. But seriously, that's the problem. I had a doctor once tell me that pot could stay in your system for a year. I mean, even depending on your size and how heavy a user you used to be, who knows? But what the point is it stays in a lot longer and does not affect you. So you could have 100 nanograms in your system and not be high.
Mm-hmm.
If you had that much alcohol in your system, you'd be trashed and crashing into everything. Alcohol is a very different way of, they need two different testing levels because I could do
100
bong hits and be fine driving. Now, someone could do a tiny bong hit and not be fine driving. It's very different. You give me a shot of anything, and I'll sit on my couch. Don't put me behind the wheel. Some people can do 10 shots, and they're like, all right, let's go to the next bar. And I'm like, wait, I'm still on the couch. you dancing?
I'm just moving the shoulder out.
Oh, man. Spit on this GAC detector. Man, I'm killing you.
A little dance.
Here, you can dance to this.
Puff, 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 puff,
into my house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's pizza time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers. And bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right. talking dispensaries. What's your favorite dispensary out there? We're also talking about the fact that High Times prints very small and sometimes disturbingly unreadable. This green on beige, white on green background is hard to read. So how about we read about cannabis on campus? How y'all feel about that? What do you think?
It's school. I think it doesn't have a place there. I mean, maybe the target,
yeah,
say the dorm.
I
think it's medicine.
I would have focused a whole lot better. Yeah, and I do focus a whole lot better.
Maybe it needs to be done before you go to class.
Well, sure.
You know, I don't know.
No cannabis pens in class, kids. That's all we're saying. College students are choosing pot over other narcotics, according to the 2015 edition of the Federal Monitoring the Future study, conducted by the University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research. The latest poll found that 38% of students used marijuana in the last 12 months. This reflects a decade-long trend of steady or increasing cannabis consumption by those pursuing higher education. Higher education. While daily use defined as consuming at least 20 times a month declined slightly from 5.9% in 2014 to 4.6% in 2015. Overall use increased 3.5% from 2014. The study also found that only 33% of those aged 19 to 22 now regard regular pot use as dangerous. Cannabis use has apparently filled the void for recreational prescription drugs, which have decreased to a meager 3.3% annual use after a peak of 8.8% in 2006. Student amphetamine use also decreased slightly, dropping to 9.7%. That's good to hear that if you're going to experiment with things, let's try something a little safer because it's the human nature to want to expand our minds. And like Dr. Grinspoon and Carl Sagan said, they use cannabis for enhancement purposes. That's what Carl Sagan's done in the universe, and Dr. Lester Grinspoon. There is nothing wrong with enhancement. There is nothing wrong. Look at all the animals that get intoxicated by eating the berries they do and have fun flopping over in the wild. I mean, you can't beat nature getting high. But
you think of it as a stress reliever.
It's a stress reliever.
That's the most important part of why our bodies
this
get broken down.
This is a stressful planet. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. We're not all Brady Bunch. I don't think most of us ever really were. Or Leave It to Beaver, or, maybe some Green Acres out there, but...
Well, we've grown, consciously, we've grown...
We have grown.
Big.
Leaps and bounds.
And that requires people working to maintain our infrastructure of our system. So that puts a lot of stress on a lot of people.
Yeah.
The weight of the world, that's where that comes from,
Yeah, it is the weight of the world. It is. And we all do need stress relief. We need natural... means of, exercise, eating right, cannabis is a good thing. Your vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
Big Pharma profits over patients. All right. While it's generally accepted that Big Pharma's fight against cannabis legalization is motivated by profits, it is rare to have actual proof, and even rarer to have proof in the form of a written admission from a pharmaceutical company. Incredibly, Insys Therapeutics has just provided just that, according to a report to Business Insider. Insys, which makes a painkiller called Subsys that is 100 times more powerful than morphine, is currently developing a pharmaceutical product containing dronabinol, a synthetic cannabinoid used to treat the nausea and vomiting caused by chemotherapy. Of course, Insys knows that cannabis is very good at treating nausea and vomiting, so if pot becomes legal, who would need its product? What would happen to that company's bottom line? With that in mind, Insys donated $500,000 to the anti-legalization organization Arizonans for Responsible Drug Policy, a group dedicated to defeating Prop 205, which would legalize recreational cannabis in the state. The company even had the gall to tell the press it opposed legalization because it, quote, fails to protect, quote, the children of Arizona. Oh, what about the baby? Unfortunately for Insys, a filing made to the Securities and Exchange Commission belies its "please think of the children" narrative. Here's why Insys really opposes marijuana. In the company's own words, quote, "Legalization of marijuana or non-synthetic cannabinoids in the United States could significantly limit the commercial success of any dronabinol product candidate. Literature has been published arguing the benefits of marijuana over dronabinol. If marijuana or non-synthetic cannabinoids were legalized in the United States, the market for dronabinol product sales would likely be significantly reduced, and our ability to generate revenue and our business prospects would be materially adversely affected. Oh my God. Well, there you have it, folks. Right from the mouth. It is. I didn't realize they donated that to Arizona. They probably donated it to every state that's promoting legalization, because they don't want anybody to have it. And that's the whole thing. It's just, if they have it, then their sales drop.
Well, we've known
that's
that
not good
each
for them.
State has always had control of how they, tax and regulate things. We've known that because each state has their own laws about alcohol. And I'm sure if we looked into it, there's laws about the pharmaceuticals. But I'm sure there's pretty wide doors open on that. And so when any of this other stuff comes in, especially something that people can plant and do themselves, and then they can regulate it,
yeah.
I mean, really, they have no right.
Yeah.
They really have no right to say...
Well, and that's where we went wrong when we started messing with opium in the first place, because they started doing derivatives of derivatives, and then realized we had something natural that it maybe could have done a little bit of good somehow, but not in the amount they were using it. But
mm-hmm.
then the pharmacies and pills came, and people and money came, and then they realized, ooh, cha-ching. You know, why leave it to them? And for the most part, and this is the big thing, for the most part, people don't want to grow their own. They really don't. It's like the farmer's market versus Safeway or even Costco. There's no even competition. You've got a group of select people that frequent your farmers markets, and then you have your Costco shoppers. They're all there today. Whew. Good luck, guys. Eat protein bars, drink water, and it's a very different group. And there's no threat between either. But for some reason, the big dispensaries feel like if they allow patients to grow, they're not going to be able to make their money. So a lot of that comes into play. So, folks, we are on page 28 now of High Witness News, and here's something you're not going to like. Well, you gun owners won't. Legal pot patients banned from buying guns. Buying guns, it says. An appeals court upheld the federal ban on gun sales to registered medical cannabis patients. The unanimous decision applies to the 9 states under the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals jurisdiction. 8 of those states have medical pot programs. Here's my question right off the bat. It says medical cannabis patients can't buy them. Does it say medical cannabis patients can't have them? Let's see. The recent ruling involved a lawsuit brought by a Nevada woman, S. Rowan Wilson, who was denied a firearm in 2011 because she had a medical cannabis card. I wonder how they found that out. Federal law forbids selling guns to illegal drug users, and marijuana remains illegal at the federal level. However, Wilson claims that she isn't a pot smoker, but rather a supporter of the program. Even so, the appeals court ruled it was reasonable to assume that anyone with a medical cannabis card uses marijuana and therefore should be disqualified from purchasing a gun. Still hasn't answered my question. Unfortunately, the court didn't stop there. Uh-oh. Adding that it was also reasonable to assume that using marijuana, quote, raises the risk of irrational or unpredictable behavior with gun use should not be associated, quote. In addition to being a canard, this reasoning seems rather disingenuous considering that people who use alcohol can purchase as many guns as they like. Hello. I know. Pop a pill, take a drink, go shooting. Paul Armentano, Deputy Director of Normal, weighed in, noting, quote, responsible adults who use cannabis in a manner that is compliant with the laws of their state ought to receive the same legal rights and protections as other citizens. This may not be the last word on the issue of firearm sales to medical pot patients. Wilson's attorney could appeal the decision, potentially taking the case all the way to the Supreme Court. Additionally, according to marijuana law expert Alex Crete, a legal medical cannabis patient who actually uses pot could challenge the ruling that it increases, challenge the ruling that it does increase violent or irrational behavior. Now, and here's where we've learned to read between the lines with everything we read. It says you can't buy one, but doesn't say you can possess one. It's just talking about purchasing guns. So if you already have them, okay, stop buying them. Keep what you have. Talk to a lawyer and find out if you can, in fact, possess them without purchasing them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
People inherit guns, you know, gifts from their grandpas or dads or mothers or whatever. Bless you. So, anyone out there, 646-915-8421, give us a call. Shoot us an email, thctucson@gmail.com. Chat with us.
Yeah.
Do it. It says, cops can't profile drivers from legal pot states. Motorists from Colorado, along with opponents of police profiling, scored a major victory when a federal appeals court ruled that residency in legal pot states is not a valid reason to stop and search a vehicle. There you go. That's good. In a 2-1 decision, the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Denver found that two Kansas Highway Patrol officers who pulled over and searched a vehicle because of its Colorado plates violated the driver's constitutional rights. The officers justified the stop and search to the driver, Peter Vasquez, by explaining that Colorado is a known drug source because of its legal cannabis program. But no drugs were found in the vehicle, and Vasquez brought a civil lawsuit against the officers for violating his Fourth Amendment right not to be unreasonably searched for him. The appeals court decision applies to Colorado and neighboring states Kansas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Wyoming, and Utah.
Hmm.
No, why we're not. Nice. All right. That's great. That's good. You can't. I wonder what his license plate said. I smoke weed while I'm driving?
Yeah. Some people get really creative with their license plates.
Yeah, they do. But there's nothing. Here we go. Man's best friend, not teacher's pet. You ready? There's nothing cute about being sniffed out by a real drug dog. An unannounced drug sweep at a Texas high school snared a teacher, according to reports. After a drug-sniffing dog named Ace, not pictured above, they've got a cute little Yorkie pictured up there, discovered marijuana in the backpack of Spanish instructor Ana Carrera during a random search of Lanier High School in San Antonio. While Carrera had less than 2 ounces of pot, she faces a Class A misdemeanor because the cannabis was found in a drug-free zone. According to San Antonio Independent School District officials, Carrera had just started teaching. Here we go.
She
was new. We didn't know about her.
Uh-oh.
Carrera had just started teaching. She resigned from the gig immediately following her arrest. The gig, meaning her teaching position. Officials released a statement expressing their disappointment in Carrera, insisting that the rest of the faculty, quote, serve as positive role models for the students, quote. Of course, one could argue that not subjecting teachers and pupils to constitutionally questionable random searches would be even more positive for the student body. Why didn't the drug dogs sniff out their never-ending supply of Vicodin?
Or the Ritalin. And
or Oxy, or Dilaudid, or Tylenol, or morphine. Oh, I don't know. The list goes on and on and on. Because they're not in Schedule 1. What's in Schedule 1 that we prescribe? Anything? Anyone?
No.
Nothing? List of, pull up a list of Schedule 1 drugs, please. And that's all I was thinking this morning.
LSD.
Well, I keep going back. Why are they making cannabis users in a program? And it's because it's federally illegal. That's why. That's why. Because, so this is the, okay. The DEA has a schedule that includes 5 points, okay? So Schedule 1, which is where marijuana is, which has no medical value and a high potential for addiction. This is where marijuana lies. With heroin, LSD, peyote, ecstasy, GHB, MDMA, psilocybin, psilocybin, and what else? So that's where they stuck. That's where they put marijuana.
Uh-huh.
I don't even really know why they put marijuana there, because, like our soft-spoken silver sister said, cannabis was in our medicine cabinets up until 1941. So why would they take that? Because, well, heroin was, huh? What? Oh, they're all psychoactive. Okay. They're all psychoactive drugs. So, yeah, but so let's see what's in Schedule 2. Do we have the list? Can you pull up the whole list of just all the drugs? So it's just pull up the list of scheduling.
Yeah.
Because from Schedule 2 on, they list them as having a medical value, right?
Yeah.
Right.
A little bit.
A little bit. Oh, here we go. How do we make this bigger? Oh, here we go. I love Apple. All right. So Schedule 1 substances or chemicals are defined as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. We read those to you. Heroin. LSD, lysergic acid, diethylamide, that's LSD. you should be allergic to that. Peyote, methaqualone, ecstasy. Schedule 2 drugs. So that was my question to myself this morning. Why the heck? And I just realized, oh, yeah, Schedule 1. Because you just can't use it. They won't let you do anything with Schedule 1 drugs. Nothing. You can't test on it. You can't do research on it. For some reason, they let the University of Mississippi grow it, but that's just because it's for them. Schedule 2. Substances or chemicals are defined as drugs with a high potential for abuse, with use potentially leading to severe psychological or physical dependence. These drugs are also considered dangerous. Okay. Interesting. They combine combination products with less than 15 milligrams of hydrocodone per dose unit. Vicodin, cocaine, better for you than marijuana, methamphetamine, methadone, hydromorphone, Dilaudid, Demerol, oxycodone, Oxycontin, fentanyl, dexedrine, Adderall and Ritalin. I forgot about those fun ones. Man. Those are good ones. And those are all better for you than marijuana. Liar pants on fire. Schedule 3. Substances or chemicals defined as drugs with a moderate to low potential for physical and psychological dependence. And abuse potential is less than Schedule 1 and Schedule 2. But a little more than Schedule 4. I swear it's written in. Some examples are... Yeah, Marinol, which is the government chemically made up version of THC, is Schedule 3. Schedule 3 drugs, products containing less than 90 milligrams of codeine per dosage unit. Tylenol with codeine, ketamine, anabolic steroids, testosterone, just to name a few. Schedule 4 says Schedule 4 drugs, substances, or chemicals are defined as drugs with a low potential for abuse and low risk of dependence. Some examples are Xanax, Soma, Darvon, Darvocet, Valium, Ativan, Tolwyn, Ambien, Tramadol. Oh, these bring back such good memories. Oh, the smiles. And Schedule 5. Schedule 5 drugs, substances, or chemicals are defined as drugs with lower potential for abuse than Schedule 4. And consist of preparations containing limited qualities. Yeah, probably that. Sorry. Limited quantities of certain narcotics. Schedule 5 drugs are generally used for anti-diarrheal, anti-tussive, analgesic, and other purposes. Some examples are cough preparations with less than 200 milligrams of codeine or per 100 milliliters, Robitussin AC, Lomotil, Mitofen, Lyrica, Paropectilin. There's an alphabetical listing of controlled substances. That's a good list. So there you have it, folks. That's why cocaine is better for you than marijuana. Here it is. There's the controlled substances list in alphabetical order. Wow, this is too big of a list. Holy, all right, this is, there's 14 pages of this. Yeah, oh, here's all the schedules. Wow, all right, I'm going to give this back. Thank you very much for that information. There's your scheduling of drugs and why marijuana is Schedule 1, which is ridiculous.
So
that's cray-cray. Oh, it's so far. Oh, man. Well, that's why we're...
You get for free thinking.
Yeah. You get for having Nixon.
Change that up right quick.
All right. Who are you? China's chemical war. China could be the key to eliminating dangerous drugs like flaca. Yeah, I know. You should have seen the looks I got from everyone in the green room. What the f*** is flaca? Yeah, all right. China's chemical war. Thanks to a recent ban on certain chemicals in China, the United States is reporting a significant decline in both the deadly designer psychostimulant known as flaca and unpredictable synthetic pot products like K2 and spice. Flaca, however you say it, it's a dangerous synthetic drug similar to bath salts that has been linked to several brutal and bizarre crimes in the United States. While the drug has been most prevalent in Florida, the Chinese ban of 150 chemicals known to be used in creating unpredictable synthetics has gone a long way toward eradicating it. Likewise, K2 and spice are becoming less accessible through the U.S., which is awesome. The drop in designer drugs is being attributed to increased cooperation between China and America. In fact, DEA officials have spent time in Beijing working with Chinese authorities on combating the problem as both countries attempt to keep peace with underground chemists, modifying formulas to beat the ban and render these substances technically legal. Wow. I wonder how you can render them technically legal. Probably because of the components individually that are in there.
People who have jobs that where they drug test and they enjoy, obviously there's something that the bath salts, there's a high that you can get out of it when done right, you know,
well,
like, I don't
Windex
know, which scares me.
To get high these
yeah.
days. I mean, that's just
the huffing, it,
freaky.
You know,
yeah.
But if they were able to get their hands on cannabis and be able to use it without shame and be able to use it without getting in trouble for it, they can actually maintain and not die or mess themselves, their brain cells up so
like
bad.
Maintain or not die.
Right.
I love that.
I just don't get it. You know, it makes no sense that you would continue to allow something that would hurt mankind. Well, yeah. Well, bath salts.
Where's our money? Ching, 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 ching.
Yeah.
Our money sound.
The money
so,
sound.
I said like an hour ago we were going to read this. I think we probably should before we end our show. The battle at home. This is from the Tucson Weekly. Thanks, guys, for reporting each week on cannabis. For combat veterans, marijuana may be the best weapon in their invisible war against PTSD. By Nick Myers, Tucson Weekly. Pedro Hernandez joined the military at the age of 19, motivated by a drive to pay for school and provide for his family. He intended to join the Air Force. The recruiters told him it would be a 6-month wait and offered him $5,000 if he joined the Army instead. So he did. This is wartime. Money talks, Hernandez said. I knew I was signing my life away, and I thought the more money, the more bullets I have to dodge. I'm not stupid. There comes a price for everything, and that's the bullet for every damn dollar, and I did see my $5,000's worth. He went on one deployment to Forward Operating Base Loyalty in Iraq. Situated in the middle of Baghdad, he often pulled tower duty, a station that he said is reserved for enemy target practice. When he returned from deployment, Hernandez was diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. It used to be in my dreams, he said, but we stopped it. Between 11 and 20% of veterans of Operation Iraqi Freedom have PTSD, according to the Department of Veterans Affairs. Currently, the FDA has approved two medicines for PTSD treatment, Zoloft and Paxil. Both have label warnings of increases in suicidal thoughts. What schedule are those in? Zoloft and Paxil. Probably like...
They're not.
No. All right. Sue Sicily has seen these side effects in her patients firsthand. She's been fighting to conduct research in treating PTSD with marijuana in Arizona. For 20 years now, I've taken care of military vets, policemen, firemen, and also tribe members, Cicely said. The conventional meds have a variety of some very disabling side effects, from increased suicidal thinking to nodules to sexual dysfunction to weight gain. After his deployment, Hernandez spent his 22nd birthday in a mental institution after calling a VA hotline threatening to harm himself. 2 years earlier, Hernandez left for Baghdad on October 6, 2006. His first stop was Kuwait, where they prepared troops for deployment. He met Navy SEALs and joked with British soldiers about the French. Soldiers had the opportunity to practice with their weapons firing at the sand dunes. It was just a big pump you up, he said. I wasn't pumped to go. I understand it. You're going to war. This is mandatory. FOB loyalty was a recycled base in eastern Baghdad, formerly used as Saddam Hussein's Directorate of Internal Security. The soldiers lived in tall buildings that Hernandez said resembled hotels. He said drive-bys were common, and a lot of soldiers received Purple Hearts from injuries sustained within the barracks. Mortar time was okay. You have a couple of stories of concrete above you. Everything else, love you, good luck. The environment took its toll, but the treatment from his fellow soldiers made deployment difficult for Hernandez. They would pick on him, and those who outranked him would try to make him do push-ups and order soldiers can refuse in combat zones. This kind of treatment follows from military hierarchy. Hernandez wasn't a grunt, a soldier who leaves base to go on patrols. He was an engineer who did construction on base. They were the grunts, he said. I wasn't a grunt because I did construction. You're lower than low. I wasn't a soldier because I didn't carry a weapon. Of course, that pushed down the self-esteem. That's how Hernandez felt during most of his deployment, isolated from other soldiers in his battalion. He had few friends on deployment. His best friend was another private first class he met at Fort Carson, Colorado, prior to deployment. His name was PFC Clinton Tyler McCormick, a combat engineer nicknamed Peanut. Hernandez remembers the night walking to the corner store at Fort Carson and singing to Peanut's girlfriend, Courtney, over the phone. It was her birthday. Another time in Kuwait, Peanut fired a weapon too close to his face at the behest of senior soldiers and gave himself a bloody nose. Peanut was killed by a roadside bomb in Iraq 2 days after Christmas. When I found out about my friend died, I couldn't breathe. I didn't want to believe it. Now Hernandez finds friends at the 420 Social Club on 4th Avenue. The club provides a safe place where medical marijuana patients can medicate safely, and many of them are veterans with PTSD. It's just a great opportunity to be at a collective of people with a common goal, which is life, love, and happiness, and that's ultimately what the 420 Social Club agenda is, said Fernando Ochoa, one of the club members. Mark Brown is one of those veterans who founded the club. He strongly believes in using marijuana to treat PTSD. Not only does marijuana help the PTSD, but just growing the marijuana is therapeutic. He said it gives them something to live for. Hernandez attributes his recovery to more than marijuana. He enjoys the biographies of other veterans, which provide validation for his experience. Therapy, unwavering faith, and his four-year-old daughter have given him the strength to face his battles head on. While in the tower, Hernandez remembers a little girl with brunette hair who would wave to him every time she walked by. He wasn't allowed to wave back, so he would lift his fingers from his weapon in a signature wave. Instead, that's when he knew he wanted a daughter. Hernandez's daughter, Hazel Marie, or Hazelnut, is named after Peanut. Oh, I wasn't meant to be a soldier, he said. I wanted to be an airman, not a grunt. One day in the tower, Hernandez was stationed with a sergeant who was shot by a sniper. The sniper killed the sergeant with a single shot through a 6-inch opening in the tower window and hit a gap in his armor the width of a dime near his left shoulder blade. The bullet went straight through his heart. The enemy sniper killed that sergeant that was beside me in this impossible shot, and he was doing it constantly, Hernandez said. Hernandez spent 15 months in Iraq. His deployment was extended halfway through. When he came home, he didn't want to go back. You have to relive your worst day over and over, he said. It just turns into a boring a boring movie after that. It's like Groundhog Day. Using marijuana doesn't rid him of the pain, but it allows him to manage it. When I'm high, it feels like when I wake up from a good nap. He said, there's pain, but I don't fear. It's not going to hurt me. Hernandez's struggle parallels that of many of the members of the 420 Social Club. While PTS members are veterans, not all have PTSD related to combat. Some non-veterans have PTSD as well, and the club provides a place where they belong. A lot of people wrongly felt opposed to the law because of a plant, Ochoa said. Nowadays, it's not like that. Everyone here has heart, has vision, has purpose, has motivation, and we come together and collaborate. For me, it's a home away from home. Brown has gathered several veterans who use medical marijuana at weekly veterans meetings. A large part of the meeting's purpose is to help publicize marijuana in an alternative to what they consider more dangerous drugs provided by the VA for PTSD. The problem with our guys with PTSD is they're going to the VA, taking drugs, mixing it with alcohol, and they're ending their lives, Brown said. Dave Croteau helps run the veterans meetings at the social club. He hopes that medical marijuana could provide an alternative to the treatment the VA provides for PTSD, which doesn't include prescription for marijuana. I see the need for us to organize to help each other, he said. There's so many things, ending the war on marijuana, would relieve. At the peak of its issue with regard to veterans' health, Gabrielle Guerrera attended the veterans meeting for the first time Saturday. Deployed to Iraq in 2007, he was diagnosed with PTSD in 2009 after being discharged. They had 100 milligrams of Zoloft, and I didn't like that feeling. I didn't like what it was doing to me. Guerrera said it made him numb. He would throw up and have panic attacks. Since he started medicating with marijuana, he doesn't feel like that. Cicely hopes her research can provide an alternative to the VA's treatment of PTSD, but acknowledges marijuana requires additional research to determine its efficacy. Inspired to start studying the benefits of medical marijuana, Cicely formed a partnership with the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies in 2009. She had intended to conduct the study at the University of Arizona, but was fired in June 2014 for what she believes were political reasons in relation to her lobbying the state legislation for funding. To conduct the study, MAPS had to get approval from the FDA, National Institute of Drug Abuse, Department of Health and Human Services, and the Public Health Service, a branch of the HHS. The process has taken more than 6 years to complete. It can take months to respond, years if they want, Cicely said. Law enforcement agencies appear to be systematically impeding the process. After Cicely was fired from the U of A, the study lacked funding until the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment gave $2.61 million to MAPS to conduct the study. The problem then was receiving the marijuana for the study from NIDA. NIDA holds the only license from the DEA to provide marijuana for scientific study, resulting in a monopoly of growing. Under the Controlled Substances Act, NIDA is required to provide an adequate, uninterrupted supply of marijuana for research. Cicely argues NIDA has never produced an adequate or uninterrupted supply of marijuana, hindering the scientific study of marijuana as a treatment for diseases such as PTSD. Rick Doblin, MAPS founder and executive director, first realized this issue surrounding the NIDA monopoly in 1999 and has been fighting to end it ever since. The efforts of MAPS lobbying helped lead to the dissolvement of the PHS in August 2015. 2 months later, one of MAPS' partners, Lyle Craker of the University of Massachusetts Amherst, won a 15-year battle with the DEA for permission to grow. Cicely's study involved randomly assigning test subjects to four different groups with varying levels of tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, the main psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, cannabidiol, the pain reduction chemical in marijuana, and a placebo. NIDA provides most of the strains, except for the one with equal amounts of both THC and CBD. Cicely requested a strain with 12% THC CBD, but only received 9% THC CBD. As a rule, monopolies are terrible, said. Here's a perfect example, Sisley said. And they don't have anyone to compete with, so why would they make any effort to be responsive to the public? They're not. According to Sisley, NIDA doesn't provide adequate information about the marijuana they produce either. Most drugs for study contain a drug master file. NIDA has never provided a drug master file for its marijuana, leaving researchers to guess if the product contains mold, pesticides, and other information about the marijuana. There are literally hundreds of expert growers around the country that can do what NIDA does and do it 100 times better, Sisley said. Canada, for example, has more than 30 licensed growers. MAPS agreed to conduct the study with the 9% THC CBD strain and settled on two locations, Johns Hopkins University and Sisley site in Phoenix. Sisley is screening patients now, hoping to begin the study soon and conducting Arizona's only marijuana efficacy study. I do not have any preconceived notion about how this plant works, Sisley said. In my role as a physician, I hear from patients that cannabis is a drug like any other drug. It has side effects and it has benefits. The question is, do the benefits of cannabis outweigh the side effects? And she believes the answer is yes. If Sisley's research shows positive results, then it may help legitimize medical marijuana as treatment for veterans like Hernandez Guerrero Brown and void of them of side effects like depression and suicide. The only thing standing in our way is the federal government, Brown. To step back and not force the pharmaceuticals on us, then we'll be a lot better off. If you could have a safer option, that's the better option. Marijuana has never killed anybody. Amen to that. And there again, the problem is, it's all about the schedule. So their doctors can't prescribe it. The only alternative is crappy pills that are killing you and killing those around you.
Causing more side effects
and more problems, and that's why
you see this with so many people, you know.
Yeah.
If you're on at least 3 medications, you're probably going to be on 3 more within the next year.
Yeah.
And then it just doubles like that. For every 3 that you get another 3, you know.
But not with cannabis, you get one beautiful non-toxic plant that we love so much. Thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to us, and those are some great articles today, and we always threaten you with more fun interviews, which we'll have. Have a fun and safe and respectful Thanksgiving holiday. Don't drink and drive. Don't get stoned and drive. Just stay home on your couch and eat pumpkin pie. Woo! Pumpkin pie! That comes out Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
Come on, come and make that pumpkin pie.
We've had a rough year. You know, it's...
And it's going to be a great new year.
It's going to be a great new year.
Let's do it up.
Come together.
Right.
Be thankful for everything that you have right now.
Be thankful. And remember to always
be smart.
Be safe.
And
educate. Thank you all for being here. We love you. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Woo-hoo.